been all over back there looking for. Lord, you need to do it. And Brother Malin comes up, and Brother Mark had the prayer that Malin and I would both be able to share the burden that God has laid on our heart. And I do have a burden, and I said to the Lord, help me to convey the burden from my heart to the hearts of the people here. And he had a prayer there, and I was like, Lord, amen. And then Brother Malin comes up and he starts sharing on the creation. The very part that I was planning on sharing in the beginning of my message was on the creation. And as he goes through the message, that God has done it again. He has wanted us to hear about the glory that is due His name. And that is my message that is laid on my heart. And I feel like crying now since God has done it again to inspire me just through using Brother Malin in the same way in a different room yesterday. As he was studying his message, God convicted him to share it to the children about the glories to God. The glory that belongs to God. And this morning, that's the very same message that God has been giving to my heart in our home yesterday. God has done it again. And He's a faithful God, and He is almighty. He is all-knowing God, one who knows what His people need, one who knows what the children of His need to hear, the one that knows when we err, knows what we need. And it inspired me this morning just to have God work in a way like that. Yesterday we were at a circle leather gathering. I don't know if you know what circle leathers are. We have a circle letter going on with the youth that we were with, some of the youth Miriam started writing letters to. And we had our first circle leather gathering. And they had started this circle letter when the girls were 14 years old. And some of the girls were living in Indiana, some of the girls in Kentucky, and some of the girls in Pennsylvania. And so their life went on, and at their teenage years, they started courting, and then they ended up getting married, and that us men got to be part of the circle letter group. Yesterday, we had our first reunion, you could say. And gathering together there yesterday, I was encouraged by some of the men that I did not know. There was a few of them along that I felt were spiritual, and we had some spiritual conversations, and that is a blessing to get to know somebody that way. Through the course of our conversation, we were sharing that one preacher preached a convicting message, and then after the message, the man came up to me and he said, you were stomping on my feet with your message. He said, that's funny, because I was aiming at your heart. God wants us to receive these messages into our heart and not feel like we've been stomped on. If you are being stomped on, you're not applying the message where God would want it directed to you. And so as that yesterday, I was like, amen. That is a remark we a lot of times make. When we don't want to hear God's word, we are saying, I've been stomped on and I've been belittled or I've been stepped on. And it was just a thought, but I had that here at the beginning, that God likes to apply messages coming from Him to our hearts, rather than feel that we are stomped on, that we are hurt, or that we have, if you're stomped on, that might be a sign you need to be moved. Maybe have a word of prayer also. Felt the need of that. And so would you want to rise as a congregation and we'll have that word of prayer. Lord, I feel unworthy to come before you in a prayer at this time, but thank you, Father, for doing it again. Thank you for giving us messages to share to the people. And just pray that you would be able to use my lips to share what you want us to hear. And so, Father, as we've gathered here, we're all needy people. We are created in, and we're living in the creation you've created. And we're here for one purpose, and that is to bring glory to your name. So, Father, may we be serious about that. And, Father, I just thank you again for the privilege of gathering here and the help we do have. I pray for those that are ailing in their bodies. Pray that they would find a rest in Christ Jesus as they go through this. Pray that they would honor and glorify his name and through this and call upon his name. But, Father, I had a prayer for Brother Steve. He had asked me yesterday to pray for him as he shares there. As he's sharing there in Henry Clausen there at Canada. I pray that you would reach out to him and use him as your vessel there. So I pray for that, and may your will be done here. Pray all this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Have a seat. I was going to begin with a story. I don't know. It seems like my message where I was going to begin this already started with what Malin had, so I may just briefly go through the creation there and get some of the points out that I have wanted to make. But I want to start with a story. And this story is a story that happens in this earth today, here below, in... Just to give us a little idea of what is on God's heart, there was a white little house on a hill with a blacktop drive going up to the house. It was nighttime, and in the nighttime, there was a family sleeping. And life went on, and it became close to morning. Early in the morning, the man gets up, and he goes out to the kitchen. And he looks at his, a lot of people have in the kitchen window a thermometer. He looks at the thermometer and says it's cold outside. So he goes, puts wood on the fire. Then he steps outside and breathes a prayer, and he sees that the driveway is snowed over. And he thought, I need to get to work by a certain time. I forget the time. But I should clean off this driveway so my wife and children, when they leave to do what they want to do today, come down to the bottom of the hill, that it's all prepared for them, that they do not have an accident down there. So he gets out his snow shovel, and his, I don't know if he had a snow blower or not, but he goes out there early in the morning while the family was still sleeping. And he clears his driveway and was thinking that I could have possibly got out of here really carefully and went to work and left my family set. But I wanted to do this for them because they need to be kept safe. So he cleared all the snow off, and he was looking at his watch, and he was thinking, I need to go in and grab the sandwich that we prepared the night before in the refrigerator and pack my lunch and be off to work, leaving early. On the way to work, he was thinking that, yeah, this new snow on the ground, my little son would desire to have a sled. But looking at all his bills he had to pay, he had utility bills, he had rent bills, I'm not sure what all the bills were. Somehow, if there could be, Lord, an allowance that I could buy my son a sled. And off to work he goes, just getting there on time, barely on time. Wife gets up in the morning, driveway is clean. Huh, thank you that he cleaned the driveway. Thank you that the house is warm and there's wood on the fire. Nice little white house on the hill. Little sons get up and cheerful is in a warm house. The story is that man's name was he is a father. That person was just doing his part. And today is Father's Day, and I want us fathers to realize there is a place that God would like for us to be, that we could bring honor and glory to his name. That father had a burden on his heart for his family. It caused him to, you know, he could have slept a while longer. But because he loved his family, he got up early in the morning. He seen the need of putting wood on the fire. He seen the need of cleaning the driveway off, and seen the need of buying his son a sled. And fathers, this morning there is going to be a little bit of a message to us fathers, that if we are doing our godly part in life, there will be glory to his name, not glory to us. We could receive that glory which would come to us, it would be in the wrong spot. But because of Christ Jesus, we become who we are. We have a father heart that has a burden to do the family good. We have a burden to bless our wives. We have a desire deep within that God has put there to be a father. It's not that we have to, but it is something there that we want to do this for the safety of the children. We want to do this for the blessing of the children. And so this morning, I just thought I would begin with that story. I think that's just a story that I heard somewhere someday. It might not be word for word, but it was very similar to that. And as I was reading through that, I was thinking, what for man? This is a man, an example like I would desire to be. And I pray that you fathers' heart would be desiring to be in that type of a father for your family as well, so that we will bring glory to his name. There's many fathers out there that have not that burden put on their heart to be there for their wives and children, to be home with them, to be there to father them. Daniel, the title, I told you wrong. I have it written down here. The title is, To Him Be the Glory. And this message was kind of put on my heart when I heard the youth here sing that song, To Him Be the Glory. And I would think there would be a blessing if God lays it on the hearts of your brothers or whatever. It'd be good to have a subject and a message on each one of them. To Him Be the Glory, the power and the dominion forever. I forget all those words. But there is enough, you know, the power of God would be one message. But I am laid on my heart to share of the glory of God. And it was also laid on Malin's heart today. So that is what God would desire for us to have today. God created, where there was a Mennonite bishop there in our area, that one day one of the lay members came up to him and asked him, you know, what were we created for as people? When God made the creation, what do you feel that we were created for? The reason I share this was the first time that somebody helped me through this. This was before I was saved, before I was converted, before I knew Jesus. They asked the bishop this question. And I was just thankful that he asked the bishop that question, because if he would have asked me the same question, why were we created for, I would have not had the answer. So the man that had come to the bishop with that or to the person with that question knew the answer before he came. And so I was listening ears. So why were we created on this earth for? This was back probably 12 years ago. And sad thing to know, sad thing to say, I did not know what God's purpose was for us on this earth. That is sad. You little children, all sitting in the front bench here today, have received a teaching that we are created for the glory of God. And the purpose is to glorify his name. And to be an image and a type and a figure of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, we will find this out more about the message, but that is what I don't forget what the answer was that person received that asked a question, but it was not the right answer. It was some other answer. The person that asked him that said, don't you think that God created us to bring him an honor and a glory as well as the animals and all the rest of the creation. So as we look at the creation, I had earlier in the week a desire to bring along a potted plant, one that is blooming beautifully and setting it up here. But towards the end of the week here, I decided I would like just for you to visualize it. We have many beautiful, Miriam is gifted in flowers, taking care of flowers. But if we could be a congregation of people, God's people, and be as beautified as some of these flowers are, at which God is trying to do that work in me and in you as well, it would be beautiful. But picture with me a flower that is very beautifully kind of rounded, all kinds of almost like perfect flowers, just all around. Green leaves out of the bottom. Don't you think that's a little like what God created in creation? It was special. It was more beautiful than what we even have today. It was a most beautiful state when the world was created. I believe that was when God created, it was at his prime. And so in our minds, if we can grasp, we probably can't, because we have seen weeds, we have seen bug damage, we have seen blights, we have seen a lot of... But if when God finished the creation there, where Malan was at, he said it was good. And then when he finished the creation with us humans, the human race, he said it is very good. But then came the fall of human race. And you don't read that God said it is very good from there on. We are living in a fallen world. Redeemed people, those of us who have been redeemed, God is restoring us back into a place where we bring glory to his name. And that a burden on my heart today that God would want us to have and hear. Listen closely. This is the heart of the message that God has laid on it. I feel that we may have in the past preached a lot of messages. You need to be born again. You need to bring your heart to God. You need to be repent. And maybe we have failed that we, after we repent, we become more Christ-like. We follow the Spirit of God into places where we don't want to go as a flesh. Deny ourselves and come to a place where we bring our lives in subjection to the cross. And therefore, we bring glory to his name if we bring ourselves to a place where we are submitted to doing God's will. And there is a place, I believe, that God would want to speak to us. There is a place that the glory may depart from the churches if we do not submit and surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And there's just a danger. I do not feel that we are there, but I feel we need to teach it clearly for, like Malan shared, for the next generation. We do not just become born again and talk spiritually. We also become as a mission, and that's why we call somebody Lord. If you go to work at a place, at a bakery or wherever you work, you have a Lord that is running the place, that is taking care of what goes out the door here and this goes out in the garbage. You know, he is managing the place. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of his church. He is the one, and he will always be the one who the children, after they become born again, should be able to call him Lord. Whatsoever you will, I will do. But sad to say, there are some that say, Lord, we have spoke many things. We have cast out even some demons and things. But he said, depart from me, for I never knew you. And I feel some of those things, some of those may have said the right words. They may have shared the right things, but they may never have submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that is what God is trying to speak through me to the congregation here. It almost brought me to a place where I would rather not say it, but God is first in my life, so the truth comes first. The truth is that if you have not surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, even though you say the right word and pray the right prayers, but if you, in this one area, just don't say, I'm not going to do that, what the Lord requires of you, you are one of those that have done many things. But the Lord may say one day, if I don't want to be so strong that there's no hope, because I do fail in my life. Just sharing like that father that sweeps his driveway for, or cleans his driveway for his wife. I am not that perfect a father. You know, I have a ways to go yet, but God is trying to work in my life, and I want to try to allow Him to. But the burden on my heart is that the glory can depart from us and God's people if we don't do as it says here in 1 Samuel. You can page with me there, 1 Samuel 3. This is where it reads about the Samuel. He was a little child there with Eli, a little boy. This is important. And in chapter 3, verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Listen, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. Very important key to where the glory remains. If we keep the word of God precious. And another thing that Samuel was doing here, he ministered unto the Lord. Is that our hearts as God's people? Are we ministering to the people around us as we would unto the Lord? And so as we share this, this is one way that the glory will not depart if we keep His word precious, as Brother Mark shared last Sunday. If we keep His word precious. And the chapter 4 is where I want to go to. The message here, I'm kind of scattered here a little bit because God has allowed that Malin has more about the creation. And that's beautiful because I think we need the time here to speak about the things what I'm going to have. I'm going to go through some of the titles. I'm going to read about the glory that departs from Israel here in chapter 4 where Samuel writes about. We're going to go into that in just a bit. And then we're going to go into John chapter 17, where Jesus was praying there. Was it on a mountain? I'm not sure about it. Yes, John says. The prayer to us. And Jesus made the remark, I should wait till I get there, that glorify thy Son as I have glorified you. And then you go on to read there, and there is a place that he says, and those that thou hast given me I have glorified. Or there I have given the glory, which would be us. So there is a glory that we can have given to us of Christ, but that's not my message now, but we're going to read about that. And then it goes right on to church oneness, shows forth a glory to the world about us, to God. And there's a few examples. I'm going to speak a little about the headship order. If that is all in an order, father, mother, children, there is a oneness, and that brings honor and glory to God. A little story here about a father and his son and his puppy. Then we're going to go into the lifestyles. Does our lifestyles bring honor and glory? And then our speech, things we own, even the games we play. And then we're going to end up with another Bible verse. So that is kind of the message here, the outline of what we will be going through. Chapter 4, we read about Samuel. Samuel was getting older. Samuel was already visiting and speaking with God here in chapter 4. And now the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. The Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 5,000 Israelites. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us this day before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant that the Lord out of Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may have us save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came unto the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. Now, when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, now you need to visualize, there was an army of one group of people over here mad. And there was an army over here that were defending themselves, the Israelite nation. I'm not sure which one was.
And they were scared. Both sides were scared. One of them was calling upon their gods, the Philistines. They had ungod, they had idols they worshipped, but I don't know for sure what. And now here, the Philistine side, the Israelite side, of it is the one I want to look at. They were shaking because they had lost one, they were defeated one time, and they were quickening in their feet. And they had come to the place where they were just about doing an idolatry to bring the ark, which our God, the living God of Israel, does not just live in the Ark of Covenant. But they thought if they would bring their ark in, they must have had some faith in that ark. I don't know for sure about all that. I shouldn't go in there if I'm not sure about things, but God was not very pleased with that. It's just a picture I wanted to show to us, or God, that we want. Now, the earth rang again, and in 6, and when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of the great shout in the camp of Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come unto the camp. Now, the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing before. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of these mighty gods? These are the same gods that smote the Egyptians years ago with the plagues in the wilderness." Philistines said, "Be strong, quit yourself like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you." And back in Egypt, "Quit yourself like men and fight." And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man to his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell in Israel 30,000 men, 30,000. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, was slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army, and this remaining man ran out of the army that most of them had died, to Shiloh the same day, with his clothes rent, and with his earth upon his head. And when he came to Eli, lo, Eli sat on the seat by the wayside, watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. Eli was worried about the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, the city cried out. And when Eli heard it, the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of the tumult?" And the man came hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, that he could not see. He couldn't see this man's clothes were torn, and his head had dirt on it, or ashes. That is a sign they had if there was bad news, but he couldn't see it. And the man said to Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I have fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is there done, my son?" Then the messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines. There hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken." Now, this is what happened. And it came to pass, when he had made mention of the ark of God, that he fell off from his seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke. Old Eli fell off backward, and his neck broke, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy. He had judged Israel 40 years. Meantime, his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was having a child ready to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings of the ark of God taken, and her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for the pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Do you feel that the glory of God can still be taken? Can we still lose and come out from under the glory of God? It can easily happen. We can become people who do not care about the truth of God's word. We can become people who can become heartless. The enemy is warring against us. The enemy is trying hard to bring the testimony of Christ down. He's trying to bring the glory away from God's church to where the people just do not care. They do not speak about the Lord. They do not care about the Lord much. You know, it's just departing. It's not a one day bang and the glory is departed. And that is what I want to ask you men here. Do you feel that the glory of Israel departed just when the ark was brought down off of the place where it was supposed to be in the temple and brought into war? I feel, and I do believe, that the glory was departing Israel before that. Israel was becoming, Eli's sons were not obeying God. The second generation there of his sons, I don't know where you would read it, but I do feel that the glory was gradually disappearing from Israel. And God revealed to them there in that war that he is departing the sinful condition of his people, or is leaving the sinful condition of his people. He cannot bless them in the state they're in. Well, that chapter I had just desired to read that we can get a glimpse that this thing that Christ has given us, the glory that Christ has given to his church, we can lose it. So the glory departs from Israel that day. Now let's page to John 17 and have a little bit more of a upbeat message, made a little more, you know, that was sad. But in our hearts, it is sad to see those who have once walked with God, humbled themselves, called Jesus Lord, depart and walk away. John 17, this is a prayer, I guess, we have a near Jesus' end of his teaching here. He does realize that what is before him, God has revealed to him that he is to die on the cross for the sins of the people. And Jesus had one more prayer. I don't know if this was his last one written, maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not so good with all these thoughts that I'm having, but as far as this was a prayer where he prayed that I'm very thankful that John recorded. A prayer that he prayed before his death, and it's a very close father-son related prayer. And you can see through this prayer that Jesus had a very close relationship with the Father, and that he desires a very close relationship with both of us, or all of us. And these words spake, this is verse 1. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. The time has come. It is a little bit how if you prepare yourself for a message. Steve asked me to share a message this Sunday over a week ago, and I easily says, yes, I believe we can do that. And the time came closer and closer and closer. I don't know if you get a little bit nervous or if you do feel the responsibility, maybe would be the word, those of you who are called and asked to share. But as the time comes closer, you feel the burden and the desire and the just coming closer. This is where Christ was at. That's where I was at this morning on the way over. I was seeing the climb is coming closer. I need you, Lord. I need you to inspire me to preach the message you want me to preach. And he has done it. And these words spake Jesus in verse 1 and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. There was a time in my life where I would read this verse and would think it is wrong for us to ask God to glorify us. I had the wrong thought of glory. I'm still learning some of these things. I had thought that after being born again, I realized the sinful condition of men receiving honor and glory to their name for the things that they say, for the things that they do, and these men just glory in themselves. And they want more of it. They want people to speak more well of them. And so this glory that is coming to them, it is sin because it is not for man to be in. Man is not created and intended to receive glory. He can't handle it. He'll become proud. Just honest pride. And so as we go through this verse here, Jesus had asked God to glorify him. I would read that verse and say, yeah, Jesus had the right to. He could handle it. But we humans, we're not created to handle glory. But there is something that I have found through my study just last evening that I'm so thankful for. It is found later on in this chapter. So Jesus was asking to be glorified of the Father. And as they had given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, which is us, and Jesus, he's speaking about us, and God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. Jesus says, I have glorified thee, which is the Father, on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, which with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So Jesus is asking for the Father to glorify him again, which he had with thee before the world was. And I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. And they have kept thy word. Now he's speaking again about God's people. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thence, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Beautiful words. The night that he saved your soul, the night that he redeemed my soul, he gave me right on to the Father. He did not keep the glory of redeeming Nelson for 4 days, 5 days, 2 days, 2 hours. But he is saying, What thou hast given me, I have given to thee. See the picture? It is kind of, maybe draw something on a board to illustrate it, but it's something that God is sending and that we are giving back. As God is sending and we are giving back. It is not that men are sending and giving it to us and we're trying to glory some more and bringing it to us. This thing needs to flow from us through Christ to God. And from God down, the glory that we are is because of what God is doing in our lives through His Holy Spirit. See, we do not muster up our own Christian strength. We do not muster up our own salvation. And we do not muster up our own direction in life. We find it through God's Holy Spirit, through His Word. And therefore, we can say, what Thou hast done in me, the man I am, is because of You, Lord. It is not because I have become this man. It is because You have worked through me and I have become what I am. The people that think that Nelson, he's quite a different man. Like yesterday, we had a testimony of a man that lost his wife, and they were going through the circle that we're gathering here again, which were men about six, eight, men, seven men, maybe. We'd come to the discussion about this one man who had in his former life been living a very wicked man. And one man that was there said, I remember going there as a young boy, and this man would just pester me, and I was literally afraid of him. He was one of those you just dodge. He was kind of mean and almost said wicked, but he did not. And then the subject grew quiet. Then the other guy said, one day he seen the devil. Then I said, is that where he, I was going to say he got converted, but I figured they didn't know that language. And he said, yeah, that's where he got converted. He answered it for me. And I said, hallelujah. And he said, from that point on, he was a harmless creature. He was just as harmless as he was wicked. Now, does that man, if you meet that man, and if you would ask him, what did you do to change your life around like that to where you're totally different, he would say it's because of Jesus. His glory is what, if somebody glories in him, he is totally different. He would say it's because of Jesus. It will go right back. See, the danger, if we keep the glory of who we are and what we are as a congregation in ourselves, we don't want to do that. I'm not saying we are, but God has laid on my heart that we receive it, put it back where it came from, this glory. I hope the message is being clear. Okay, we need to go on here. This man's life changed. And it was a blessing for me to hear. I don't know the man, just to hear that it was from darkness into a totally different man. And it's because of God's work. Glory be to Him. Where was I reading? I pray for them. Okay, in 10 I think we are. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. Listen, I am glorified in them. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, which is us. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Okay, that's one time that the first thing when he speaks about the glory and the, keep them, Lord, thou hast given them to me that they may be one as we are. That's the first time he reads about or prays about it. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition. Now I would take that as the one who denied Jesus with a kiss. The son of perdition, Judas. That the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And I have given them thy word, and the word hath hated them. You may wonder why I'm reading a little hesitant. I didn't realize, but my eyes have come to the place where I should probably have bifocals. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me unto the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That they all may be one, second time, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, third time, and that the world may believe on, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. 4 or 5 times. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me from them, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be with them, and I in them. Amen. Okay, it's time for us to realize that there is a glory in God's church. The bride of Christ is a glorious thing. It is a place where sisters help each other when there's a need arise. It is a place where brothers pray for each other and help each other when the needs arise, have kind words for each other. It is a blessing to be in the bride of Christ. So God has put a glory upon his church, or Christ has given glory to the church. He says in 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. The danger is this. The enemy would like to take away the glory of Jesus Christ from the church. He would like to reveal to the communities it's nothing but chaos. It's nothing but legalism. And the other side is, they have no order, and there's nothing. You just go and there's nothing changed in your heart. So the first thing that I feel that we need to look at, let's not become discouraged as God's people, because this warfare we're in, there's power far greater than we realize. There is a hope that lies beyond this time, far better than we visualize. Let's not give in, but let's walk humbly before the Lord. Do right. Do what He desires us to do. Live how He would want us to live, and not give up. For the glory of His name. Speaks about the oneness. That's hard for me. I told Miriam last evening that I feel that I'm not going to share much on the oneness of the church, because it's so clear there. But let's be one and love each other. But first of all, love the Lord. That love actually that we have for one another was first given to us by Him. You know, that's one of the first things that it totally was. It was a different love than I ever experienced. They called it later on in after conversion, they said that some people call that the agape love. And I said, I know what that means. There's a love there for all people. There's a love there for the sinner. That's the reason you go and share with him there is a better way. You brethren have experienced that love. That love came from Christ, and we're doing it for His honor and His glory. We're not witnessing because we feel the Bible says we should witness. There is a deep love for the Lord, and it flows through us, and He is in the same situation I was in. He's lost. He does not know the way. And we have a love that is deep. We have a love that would just gently like to help Him, sometimes so deep that we become strong and think, you have to do it. But it is His choice. If it would not have been for love of other people praying for me, I don't know if I would be where the Lord has me today. But I sense the love from some of God's people for me that I said, I want some of that. Is God's people, is the lost sensing that from God's church? A love or a condemnation? True love does not love the sin, but loves the sinner. Bring glory and honor to His name. That love that we receive for the forgiveness of our sins, it automatically changes our life. That's really what it does. We become a new man. That man that we shared yesterday about how he used to be wicked, pestered children, and people would be afraid of him. That is what happened. There was a love come to his heart of God. Changed his life around to where he became the total opposite. Christ says, let us be one as God and I are one. Christ had a love for God. God had a love for His Son. And now I'll go on to share a little bit about the story here that I have for you, a father, son, and a dog. This is a true happening, and I'm not going to mention any names, but it blessed me and it brought conviction to my own heart. I've not done this to my sons and done this for them. But there's a few fathers in a Mennonite setting there where we didn't hear of these things back when I was young, but this father took his sons out for a night of sleeping out in the woods. A good place to be. Out back in a pasture somewhere probably, I'm not sure. But he asked a neighboring father if he would want to do that with his sons, and a few fathers took their sons out for the night in sleeping bags. Father and son walk out the driveway or biked out, I'm not sure. But they decided they're going to take the son's special little puppy along. And they did. Went out there in the night. Evening, they had a campfire and probably some hot dogs. They didn't speak about that. We were visiting about the connection between children, young sons, and their little puppies and their dogs. There's something there, you see. And the reason I share this is a connection that God would like for us to have with Him. He has a love for his son. This man had a love for his son, so he took his son's dog along. And they went out there to sleep, went out there and had their supper, and it was time to lay down and sleep. And the puppy had nowhere to go. He didn't have a sleeping bag. So the puppy goes along there, and sniffs that sleeping bag. No, that's not the person I want. Goes along there. No, that's not a sleeping bag. Then he finds his master. And he sleeps by him, right on top of the sleeping bag. Father's seen this. And he's sharing it with me. It's just something. But some of us need to really know what true love is. That is Jesus. He is looking for somebody who has a relationship with him. He's there at the times you don't think he is. Times when you're going through a trial. I know a brother that's going through a fire trial right now. But that is a time when we feel down at our lowest. When we're asleep. The love of Christ is portrayed in that way. That dog finds the person. And he finds and lays by him. That night, there were some other boys that came. And they wanted to pester and play a little bit with the... They wanted to shake the camp. I don't know. They had intentions of not doing wicked. It was some of the other Mennonite boys were going to try to scare them, would be the word. That puppy was there to guard them. The first thing that puppy did, he went woof, and he let them know. Jesus is still that way for his bride today. He is with us. But if the glory of Israel departed, he can depart as well. But at this day yet, I have high hopes that if we humble ourselves, keep ourselves humble, and keep the Lord in his rightful place where he is Lord of our lives, he will not forsake us when we go through these fiery trials. That puppy was there to protect his master. That's the same way the Lord is. He is here to protect us. Do not fear. Let's go on. He is our comfort. And storms come. A lot of times we want to just find comfort in certain spots. If we would do this and say that, maybe it would be better. And forget to call on the name of the Lord. Isn't that a little bit what the Israelites were doing when they went to get the altar? They went with less. Wouldn't it have been better for them to pray like David did? Lord, in my distress, call, hear my prayer. Attend thy ear unto my cry. Instead, they lowered their standard and called upon the altar to bring it up. May we not do that. The Lord, keep the Lord Lord of our lives. Okay, the story of the father and the son, the puppy, the love, just the relationship. Headship order. It's another beautiful place. And as I'm getting older, I used to not see it so well. But when I see the headship order in place, I used to not know what the people spoke about when I first started coming to the charity circles. The headship order, I didn't know what that meant, to be right with you or to be honest. But after years of teaching and then seeing, that in itself brings a beautiful glory to God. If the father is in his rightful place, loving the wife, guiding the children, teaching the children, meeting the needs of the family, and the mother is beautifully taking her responsibilities and respecting the husband and loving the children, making meals, cooking, doing that, that brings glory. The world, in the condition it's in, they have not experienced that. Most of the youth growing up have not experienced a home life. And when they see this, this brings something to them that it touches them. It is different. So the headship order brings honor and glory to God. Now, if the other extreme would be to not bring honor and glory to God, would be to be the man not doing his part, not seeking the Lord, and some of these areas I fail in, but I do not want to. And to be not doing his part. And the mother, just the opposite. She is leading out. And what we say here, we're going to do this. You know, it's not order. So I just felt we should bring in the opposite. It doesn't bring glory to Christ's name when you see families of such where the mother is bossing and the father's just kind of meekly tagging along. It's not the way the creation was created. Does not bring honor and glory to his name. In those areas, I'm going to go through some areas here. How the glory can depart from us is by not being in God's will, basically, as we heard. Next one is lifestyles. Our lifestyles can easily bring honor and glory to the Lord. The way we live, the way we do, what we have. But they can also bring in dishonor to the Lord. If you would have a lifestyle of always wanting, never satisfied, always desiring, never thankful. Well, never is a big word, but a lot of times not thankful. Always desiring to have like a home, basically how they have it, a house and a driveway, or everything, lifestyle. I'm afraid that may not bring honor and glory to God. But may we find thankfulness where we're at. Thankful for what we have, satisfied with what we have, and there bring honor and glory to the Lord God. Just bring praise to His name. Just to stir our hearts. These little things, it can so easily come into my heart, and then looking a while, I see why I'm not so happy anymore. I'm unthankful. You know, it happens to me. It's not beyond me. But there's another lifestyle. You can always be the more, you can be proud of being careless. You can be, I'll just share another story. There was a pickup truck came down the road. This man had left the church and bought a truck. And he bought an old farm truck. And he walks up to his future brethren, and he says, comes out and walks up to his future brethren. He said, "There's no pride in that thing, is it?" Uh-oh. You can have pride in how lowly you are. It's a subtle pride. You can have pride of how plain you are. It's a subtle pride. If you're in Christ Jesus, it's a different spot. You can be thankful, you know, where you're at, but you don't pride in who you are because of yourself. You pride in because of what Jesus made you like. You're thankful. You just the pride that you can glory in is that I am what I am because the Lord has made me what I am. That's what I'm trying to share. The house I live in, does it bring honor and praise and glory to His name? Or are people going by there that do not have the unconverted and saying, "Wow, wow, he's almost like one of them movie stars' homes or something." You know, I'm just sharing this. God would want us to have a moderation in all things, is all it is. That's usually where Christ is. He's a narrow way, moderation in all things. I'm sharing these just because of dangers and temptations and things that the enemy throw our way. Our speech. Do you ever go out in a group of people, maybe some of you that do not speak so much don't have this problem, but I go home from being with a group of people sometimes, and I say to myself, why did I ever say such a thing? A Christian should not have made that remark. This is after my converted years already. You know, there's light talk going on, and this is maybe with a group of people like you would meet at an auction somewhere, and they know you well, and they love visiting with you, so they come up. But through the course of the conversation, you automatically, and praise be to God, you know when you made a remark that did not bring honor and glory and praise to God. Then you go home, and this still small voice goes doing, doing like a doorbell on your door. How can you go to all these homes down the road? This guy was from 20 miles away in an auction, you know, you meet these people. You can't go and say, "I'm sorry for what I said." But you can say one thing. "Lord, I am sorry that I did not say these things right. I didn't bring you honor and glory with this." So speech is important. We have brethren here that are doing well with this. God's still working in me in these areas. So our speech. But if you go home and have said a lighthearted joke or half-hearted, maybe not wickedly. And you go home and you're in your cow barn, like I am a lot of times evenings when I'm getting home, I go in the barn. And you go back over the course of conversation and you've done this funny, remark and everybody laughed. And you replay this thing in your mind and you laugh again. Should be a warning. God is more serious than that. Our God is a serious God. If he tries to work on my heart, and I am just laughing it off, there's a narrow way, and it's not so hard, but just take heed when God goes doing, doing, doing. Listen. Our speech. There are things to say, and there are things we should not say. Heard the remark early on after we were born again. All things are not lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. It's the next verse. There's things that we cannot have for the honor and glory of God. We are now bought with a price after our conversion. That is one thing that I promised the Lord that evening, and I want to remain true to the promise I told him that night. That whatsoever you want me to go, whatsoever you want me to do, I will do. Because I felt the salvation come into my heart and the redeeming. Love lifted me is one song we sang. And it was just a crying time. And that is one thing each of you need to have in your heart. That I am committed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In speech, lifestyle, what we own, even games we play and what we drink. Bringing us into a subjection where some people think that we are legalists. Because they do not have the true love of God and they do not have the Lord in their life. They view, you don't even go to a bar and drink a little bit of wine as legalism. You bunch of laws. The truth of the matter is, I have committed that the Lord, whatsoever you want me to do, and I, so far as the years I've walked with the Lord, he has never led me to a bar to take a drink. It is rather the other way. Have nothing to do with them. If you go minister to their, I've not been there. Well, we've ate at a bar, at a restaurant where there was a bar. And even that in itself is got its, I don't know, questions in my life. But what I want to share is that if we do not heed to that still small voice in our hearts and are led by the Holy Spirit, the glory will depart. So are we now legalists? No. Are we lawlessless? Do we do anything? No. What are we? Basically, we're on a narrow road. And that's where Christ wants it. And children, you know, a bunch of laws won't make you become a Christian. But giving your hearts and your lives to the Lordship of Jesus, what he teaches, what he desires, will make you a Christian. Or will not make you a Christian, but converting your souls, taking care of the sin, and then following a life. We're just beginning to read the Pilgrim's Progress. We're in like the going up through there. And it's been a blessing. It's been a while since we as a family have read the Pilgrim's Progress. And so we're going through that as a family. And my prayer is that I would come through that and be changed. There are things we can own and things we cannot own. I don't know which way to take this, but I feel need to bring it in a practical sense. There are things we can own and things we cannot own as God's people. Because they don't. Things we shouldn't own are things that do not bring him honor and glory. We should not own a nightclub. We shouldn't own, well, back in the day when I was young, I'm going to speak simple just for the sake of the children, because that's my desire, God's desire, that you would learn some of these things. But back in my day when we were young, there was not too many diesel trucks. There was basically none. There was these gas trucks. But the youth of that day, the unconverted, ungodly youth in Kentucky, there were some long-haired youth, not church people. They had these cars where they would put a great big wheel on the back and a small one in the front. And the car would go down the road like that with two big pipes coming up the back. Even in the condition I was in, I knew God's people should not own something like that. A lot of those cars went further. They were not satisfied with them pipes. Well, if you drove behind them, those pipes were coming straight at you. Bah! You know, annoying. And the thing that they did next was put flames on those cars. They would stripe them up with these flames. There are things that even the youth realize that that would not bring honor and glory to God. Praise God for such a God that He instills in the hearts of our children, or did in me, that then would not have anything to do with God. And you have that in your hearts. You youth, you older men, you have that in your hearts. You know what would be a blessing and what would not be a blessing to God. We have that. Thanks be to God for that. I don't want to make a long list of things we should own and cannot own. But there is truly things we can own and wear that bring honor and glory to God. There are things that we can own and wear that brings honor and glory to our own self. If I would be up here with a shirt on, I don't know what to put on it. I didn't even have that wrote in my notes. But if I would be receiving, if I would be portraying to you something different than God's child, if I would have some writing on here, I don't know what even to put on, it would not be right. It simply would not be right. So there are things that God's people do, wear, own, speak, live like, that bring honor and glory to His name. There's a lot of the conservative circles that I'm concerned about in this area. They're departing from what God has intended of, to have a maybe a simple, quiet lifestyle is what we've been taught. Just a godly influence in the community. There are people that are afraid of tearing away the glory of God, not living in the glory of God. Games we play is another one I have. I guess we do not need to go into that one. I have spent enough time on that one. Going on to the end, if you want to turn with me there to Revelations 5:11-13. And my God's heart is that the glory of His people would remain a glorious thing and not just diminish, kind of fade out. But that when you go into your garden one day in your flower beds and you walk past them and they're blooming and they're fresh, there's no weeds, they are kept, you go by there and they bless you. And you look at the creation in the right way, you say, God, when He made that flower, He made it a beautiful flower. Just look at it. And you can also say, I'm thankful that I cleaned the flower bed yesterday. That's bringing a little bit glory due to you, but you are able to because God allowed you to. But when you walk past that flower bed, that thing can bless you for a couple weeks, months, till the frost comes. That's God's desire for the church. He would like for us for years and years to glorify His name, so when He comes visits His people here, they say, glory be to me. I don't know how He would say, but He can see the glory of His people because they have took Him in to their hearts. Revelations 5, I know most of you have probably been there already. I wrote down here, we'll read from 11 to 13. God has changed us to more of His image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we all know He would still desire to change us more into His Son's image. Now this is in Revelations. This was John out in the Isle of Patmos, and he was looking into the glimpse of heaven. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. They were saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory," which was our word today, "and blessings." All that goes to the Lamb. "And every creature which is in heaven and which is on earth and under the earth," which were the worms, "and are under the sea," which are the fish and the whales and octopus, "and all they that are in them," I heard saying, "Blessings." Even the animals were saying, "Blessings, glory." No, wait a minute. "Blessings, honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Do you get the picture? God desires to receive honor, praise, and glory from his people because they have made a choice to come back from him. They have been lost. They have been in a dying world. They have been separated from God. Now they have been redeemed. May we continue to bring honor, praise, and glory to his name as redeemed people and not depart like the Israelites did. This is from the youngest one that's listening to my voice to the oldest one here. God desires all of you. Not one should be lost. May we praise his name on and on. Lord bless you.